Hello and welcome to another episode of Healthy Minds. I'm Julie, your host, and I've got a superstar special guest today.
Thanks. I'm Kayla Blasher. I'm the Youth Suicide Prevention Coordinator and Behavioral Health Navigator with the Howard County Health Department.
So what does all that mean?
So back in February, we launched a youth suicide prevention plan around our campaign called It's Okay to Ask. And we're just promoting it's okay to ask for help and resources, but it's also okay to reach out to someone if you're concerned for their mental health as well.
Yeah, great. Okay. So you spend your day talking to people?
Yep.
Yeah.
All day.
All day. It's a good kind of job. So we are here for a really awesome episode today. I'm very excited. So you've heard hints of it if you've been a listener for a while, but I am very pro-preventative mental health care. So we are here to talk about a program that the Howard County Health Department has launched that is taking place in our Howard County public school system. So Kayla's going to give us a quick rundown of what this program is and also the name of it.
So as part of the Youth Suicide Prevention Plan, we kind of adapted this program called Sources of Strength. And what it is a best practice model that's recognized nationally, and it works to prevent suicide, substance use, and bullying. It can either be implemented as a school-based program or a community-based program. So as the health department, we decided to launch it as a community program, and it's for high school students, and we have representation from 10 of the 12 high schools so far. And since this is the first year that Howard County is doing this program, we were only expecting about 10 to maybe 30 students, and 57 high school students have come forward and said, I want to be advocates for mental health. I want to do something within my school and within my community. So that's been such a great privilege to have all these students come forward, especially growing up in Howard County and in the school system. It really says a lot about what is needed in the community. So with Sources of Strength, there's 8 different components on the wheel that we'll be talking about soon.
Yeah. So part of Sources of Strength, though, which is the strength of the Sources of Strength, is that it is almost entirely student-led. There are adult mentors, right, is what they're called. And while they're important, they're not the like main piece of Sources of Strength. It's really going to be about the students. And there's some guidance on campaigns and stuff to do and social media things. And the adults are there to maybe like occasionally, you know, say, hey, let's go left a little bit. And then students can be like, nah, we're going to go right. So I really appreciate that it's entirely student led, because I'm a little tired of, and maybe you are too, but when a whole bunch of adults, myself included, are sitting in a room deciding what the teens need or what the kids need, because we don't know, because we are not a teenager anymore, as much as we maybe want to hold on to that. Or maybe on the flip side, we're like, thank goodness we're not a teenager anymore. So let's see. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what it's going to be, what the vision for it is, if you don't mind.
Of course. So with it being student led, it really gives students and peers the opportunity to build leadership skills, to network with not only students in their school, but in the other high schools as well, which is great. So it gives them the opportunity to build the connections both internally and externally. And there are a few adult advisors. They're from the health department, grassroots, Office of Human Rights, and on our own. So we're just kind of there to guide them, give them some ideas. But the students are really the ones that say, this is what my community needs. This would be a great idea. So they can do anything from a social media campaign to a podcast to an event in their school or their community. So since this is the first year and first time we're implementing this in the county, we started with a social media campaign called I Am Stronger. And it's posted on our social media called HOCO Strength on Instagram and Facebook. And what the students are able to do is share the different strengths on the wheel and say, like, I am stronger in blank. And then they're able to share their story of why that strength, you know, gives them hope and gives them makes them feel like they have purpose, gives them strength to overcome stressors or just different life situations. So they're able to share their story on social media, but it's also a good way to get their students and their teachers, family members involved also in finding their strengths as well.
So really quickly, we're going to talk about preventative factors and protective factors, resilience, mm-hmm. all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So again, if you've been listening for a while, we tend to focus on you have the diagnosis or you're in crisis, now what? So we're going on the other side, and Sources of Strength calls it going upstream, upriver, mm-hmm. right? Yep. So that, you know, you're not at the waterfall, mm-hmm. you're up when it's a nice little babbling brook, right, that you can, you know, splash around in or whatever. But preventative measures are intended to stop something before it becomes bad, mm-hmm. or that it just doesn't happen at all, right? Mm-hmm. So that you're intervening on a healthy level and able to kind of circumvent issues. So a fancy way of putting that is protective factors. So we've mm-hmm. talked about risk factors before on the show for various mental health issues. Largely, it's going to be finances, your environment, your family mm-hmm. history, genetics, all this stuff can be risk factors. So maybe we can talk a little bit about protective factors. And then the one final piece is when we talk about protective factors, we're talking about resilience often. Mm-hmm. So I think I saw you had a good definition down, so I'll let you.
Yeah. So with the Sources of Strength, it really focuses on this resilience and promoting connectedness with others. So resilience is kind of the ability to bounce back from, you know, a stressful situation or kind of a bump in the road or any obstacle. So it's really that ability to bounce back from it or to mm-hmm. overcome that. And so using those sources of strength really builds that resilience.
Yeah. Another way that I've heard it, because someone once told me they didn't like the term bounce back, and they felt it was violent or something, I don't know, was like wading through. Mm. So it was kind of like acknowledging maybe how much weight or stress was on, because mm-hmm. like you think about wading and, well, maybe you guys don't because you didn't vacation in New York in the middle of nowhere, but you put on your waders and you're like fighting against the current to get through. So it's acknowledging that there's still this kind of like weight and pressure, but you're able to push on through, to persevere. Mm. So I bounce back is great. You know, push through is great, all this stuff. So we're going to walk you through the wheel, which we've talked about a couple of times.
Yes.
So first off, it's a beautiful rainbow. and I recommend you come check out our social media accounts, because we will have photos of some of this stuff up. So you're able to check it out and follow and like stuff if you want to. But we're going to start with this triangle. So the first piece is family support as a strength. So
yeah.
Tell me about this.
Of course. So like Julie said, the first strength is this family support, and it's really kind of honing in on, you know, those that either are related by blood or ones that you choose. So that could be really close friends that you've adopted, or, you know, a step relative, things like that. It can be both blood related or family by choice, which is really important for both the students and community to understand, because someone may not be close with their blood relatives, but, you know, they may find family support through other people as well. Mm-hmm. And honing in on that family support is really just finding those that you consider family that are really supportive and caring and there for you no matter what.
Yeah. And I think that unconditional acceptance or unconditional love is important to note here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are a little nervous about the word love, but I'm pretty sure you all love your friends, even if you don't say it.
Right.
So your chosen family is really important, and everybody has chosen family. It's not just people that don't get along with their blood family or don't get along, you know, by not their choice, like have been ostracized or something. Mm-hmm. But in general, it's going to be about this like feeling of connectedness and knowledge that they're going to be there for you, like you said. So that's really incredibly important. And I think a lot of students, and I know I did when I was a teenager, struggle with this notion of finding your family, because maybe it's not so cool to care, or you're nervous about showing your feelings a little bit. But I guarantee you, everybody else is just as nervous as you are, and just as trying to play it cool, maybe. And so finding your family, your people, is really incredibly important, and you shouldn't shy away from maybe expressing if you think you found part of your family, right?
Yeah. And even if it's not someone's biological family, it might be their friend's parents or their friend's family members. So that's important for students to recognize, as it doesn't have to be your immediate family or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very close to my grandparents over my parents. And so, you know, when I think about my family, I like to skip a generation and I go up, right? I've got an aunt that's pretty supportive. And so we have all these different people, but maybe it's not your traditional white picket fence, two parents, whatever, 1.5 children, whatever it is now. But it's going to be the people that you really care about. So I have this best friend that I've known for like about 5-6 years, and she is my rock, right? Mm-hmm. So she is part of my chosen family. And I wouldn't maybe have had the strength to say that if I had been a teenager and we had met as teenagers. Mm-hmm. I probably would have been like, oh, you know, she's my friend. Maybe we're besties, but mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have gone as far to say family. Mm-hmm. And I love that you pointed out your friends' families as mm-hmm. well, because, you know, maybe you're always over at your friend Kayla's house mm-hmm. and her parents are really cool and always give you pizza and you appreciate that, right? Yeah.
Always.
I had a family friend. Friend, family, there we go, other way. Friends, family, who they were so kind and supportive to me. And I didn't recognize it because I was a brat 13, 14 year old, you know. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little bit of time to recognize and like reflection. But they literally always had my favorite foods when I was there. And this was an Indian family. And they thought that I couldn't eat spicy food, and they were correct. So they always had like really bland food for me, which cracked me up. And like in hindsight at the time too, but I was like, oh, pizza, pound cake, like, hello, I'm so excited about this, you know. But they certainly didn't have that food like normally. That was mm-hmm. specifically for the white girl that can't eat spicy food. And they were very kind to me, and I was always over like 2 or 3 times mm-hmm. a month to sleep over, right? So they were part of my chosen family, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So awesome. I don't know. And I know you have a couple of really close friends, right?
Yeah.
Consider them part of your...
Yeah, of course. And that kind of ties into the next strength, which mm-hmm. is positive friends. So those that, you know, lift you up, make you laugh, they're to support you. You know, that's a positive friend, ones that continually build mm-hmm. you up instead mm-hmm. of, you know, say negative things mm-hmm. or peer pressure you into mm-hmm. things you might not want to do. So having those positive friends is really important mm-hmm. as one of the protective factors. I have a great group of friends I always go to for anything, and they also make sure that they check in on me because mm-hmm. I talk about mental health and suicide a lot, and so they'll check in on me asking, like, how are you doing with all of this? Are you okay? If mm-hmm. I have back-to-back presentations about suicide prevention and giving data and things like that, like, they'll check in and ask how I'm doing with processing it and things like that, and that really means a lot. Because they care about the work that I do, and it's completely different from their work.
Right.
But, like, they do business and finances and things like that, and it's just completely different. And so they're interested in learning what I talk about for work and what mm-hmm. I do for work, but they're also there to support me when I need to, if I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So they're really respectful of that, which is great.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. One other piece that I'd like to add to this positive friend. So another really good way to think about it is, where is your energy going? Mm-hmm. So it really should be a give and take. And some weeks or months might be a lot of give mm-hmm. or a lot of take. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But the whole balance for the whole relationship overall is important. So I know, again, teenager, right? Flashing back to high school here, that I had some friends that I was always like, bleh, like mm-hmm. after I hung out with them. And then eventually, mm-hmm. you know, we parted ways or whatever. But if I had known what I do now, I would have been like, no, thanks. Mm-hmm. Not a friend, right? Like there's not this equal balance of mm-hmm. energy, right? Yeah. Whatever way you want to think about it. But, you know, again, and this goes for your relationships, like boyfriend, girlfriend, all that mm-hmm. stuff too. There are absolutely weeks where I need 90% of all of the energy in the relationship. And then there's the other, you know, the other way, right? So that when my boyfriend has a really hard week, mm-hmm. I'm there for him. And there's no ever like, you're not counting. You're not like, well, mm-hmm. I gave 90% last week and you only gave me 80%. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what it's about. Yeah. It's the balance, right? Mm-hmm. And knowing that if you need someone to step in or if you need someone to be a support, kind of like what you were saying, I don't want to talk about it. I just want you to be here or mm-hmm. send me funny memes or dog pictures, whatever, right? That they're there to kind of give back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really
important.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's important. One of my friends was talking the other day about, you know, if one of their friends is like harmful to their growth or their mm-hmm. well-being kind of thing, like how do you approach that kind of thing? And it's really, you know, using that support of your positive friends or also just being a positive friend to them as mm-hmm. well. So kind of finding that balance between what will help you grow, but also, again, that give mm-hmm. and take is helping them grow as a person as well. So that's something else, not only having positive friends, but being a positive friend.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're always your cheerleader either. Yeah. They should 100% call you out.
Oh, yeah.
If you're being dumb, mm-hmm. if you are being a jerk, right? Mm-hmm. They should be like, that's not okay. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing right now? Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the positive part, though, is that, again, there's this unconditional acceptance or love or understanding that's kind of like tied back into this family support piece where mm-hmm. it's so incredibly important to have people that are like, Kayla, stop it. Nobody likes it when you do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or Julie, stop it. I don't want to just call Kayla out. She's the only one here, so that's part of the problem. But, you know, Julie, stop it. That's rude. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to challenge you to grow because they know that you can, right? Mm-hmm. So I have friends that are like, stop whining and just do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thank you. I needed that kick to the pants, mm-hmm. right? Like, because I've been whining about it all week. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Procrastination, negative loop. Okay. Anyway, that was our last episode. Okay. Next one, mentors.
Yeah. So this one's really important, especially to our students, mm-hmm. as well as identifying a mentor that, again, helps them grow to be the better person or just a better version of themselves, help grow in their positive characteristics, mm-hmm. and just being a support. And it can be someone that, you know, they look up to, someone with similar experiences, mm-hmm. As a student. And during one of our first meetings, what we ask the students to identify is one mentor or one adult that they mm-hmm. look up to, and kind of write a thank you note to them, or mm-hmm. say, like, I look up to you, here's why, mm-hmm. kind of thing, and hold on to that, and then just share it with the adult whenever they're ready, or just mm-hmm. keep it to themselves so they just recognize that they yeah. have this trusted adult in their life. Mm-hmm. So even though we are adult advisors, and there are adult advisors for this, it's peer-led, but recognizing that there can be healthy relationships between mm-hmm. adults and students, and yeah. students can look up to these adults and yep. trust them yep. Is really important, because more often than not, students don't want to report anything or yeah. say anything to the yeah. adults. So having these mentors as one of the protective factors is good, because it's an older, kind of wiser person that they can trust mm-hmm. that has these experiences mm-hmm. or resources.
Yeah. So the one trusted adult is that key phrase. And I know you know this, but for our mm-hmm. listeners, that's one of the largest factors of resilience. And as an adult, you can still have a one trusted adult, mm-hmm. to be clear. And I really love that you pointed out the student need, right? So especially if they're from a family that's maybe not as supportive, mm-hmm. or they feel like the family's not as supportive, or they just maybe feel disconnected overall. Mm-hmm. It's really incredibly important to have somebody that they look forward to seeing that is positive for them, mm-hmm. right? And it's a mentor kind of relationship. So I have a mentor mm-hmm. through AACC, where I teach. So they assign every new adjunct professor mm-hmm. or every new professor to a senior professor. Mm-hmm. And the senior part doesn't necessarily mean at AACC. So he's been there for 1 year longer than me. And so we meet and I complain and he tells me, get over it, and then tells me how to. Like, he's like, yep, that happens to everybody. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, thanks. Like, I just needed that validation, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, also, this is how you fix the thing you've been complaining about on Canvas. And I'm like, I knew it. Like, I should know how to do this, mm-hmm. right? But having somebody that you look up to that has more information is really incredibly important, and definitely can be sought out as an adult as mm-hmm. well. And most people would be open to being a mentor as well. Yeah. It's, again, a little awkward to be like, hello, I'm a grown adult. You're a grown adult. Mm-hmm. Would you be my mentor? Mm-hmm. It seems a little awkward, but I think a lot of people would be open to it. And mm-hmm. especially if you're interested in a different field for work, mm-hmm. or if you're like, that lady over there is just killing it and I want to know her secret, right? Mm-hmm. You can go be like, would you be willing to, can I buy you a cup of coffee and we can chat, mm-hmm. or a lunch or something, depends on your right. time commitment, right? But mm-hmm. kind of still seeking out the mentorship, even though you're older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like, even as an adult, you can still have mentors. Like, I consider my supervisor a mentor, because yeah. during, we have like weekly check-ins mm-hmm. kind of thing with how we're doing with just life and work. Mm-hmm. And so if I come in really stressed, we'll address mm-hmm. that first.
Good.
And then kind of get that off my chest kind of thing. And yeah. then we'll talk about, you know, what I need to do to kind of cope with that, mm-hmm. and then go into the work
yeah.
thing. So
yeah, yeah.
It's good to have that, especially working in like behavior health and mental health, mm-hmm. like having a mentor that's really understanding of needing mental health days or just uh-huh. a break. So it's really yeah. good to have that kind of mentor that understands kind of what you're going through and what mm-hmm. your needs are.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay. So healthy activities.
Yes.
You keep leading us right into them here.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So they can be like social, physical, emotional, any kind of activities that helps you cope with something, or if you don't want to deal with anything, kind of distracts you from mm-hmm. it just temporarily. Mm-hmm. So something that we do at work is we get these 20-minute walking breaks, mm-hmm. which is great. And it not only gives us kind of a mental health break from staring at computer screens if we do that, mm-hmm. but we have a walking group at That's work, so which is cool. So
positive
it's a
friends.
Right. It builds it like builds those connections. Because when I first started at the health department, I would walk by myself or with my mom because she works on the other side of the building. But now when I got to make these connections at mm-hmm. work, we have a group of about 12 people that mm-hmm. all walk together. We send a calendar invite mm-hmm. that says we call it ourselves like the Tater Trots. So it's a cute name. But we all walk together, and it's a great way to just build those connections, to have a healthy activity, get some exercise, and walk since we're sitting most of the time.
Yeah.
So it's one of the healthy activities, and it's something that we look forward to every day because we're allowed to do it every day, even if it's cold out.
Yeah.
So that's just a really nice break in the workday and doing that healthy activity. We usually try to do it towards like the end of the day after we get a lot done and need a mental health break just to get over kind of the hump of the day.
Mm, 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right. Oh, yeah. 2 o'clock is like our prime walking time.
Yeah.
So that's a really good healthy activity that I do during work.
Yeah.
Outside of work, either just exercising or I do photography.
Yeah.
That's kind of my stress relief because I only focus on, you know, whatever I'm taking a photo of. So it's kind of a distraction that way.
Yeah.
Or just something to... A way to focus on something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like grounding yourself.
Right.
Through your lens.
Right? Yes. Okay.
So if this is just self-care, I would say. And so making sure that it's positive self-care, not negative. So we've talked about maladaptive or negative coping skills before. So drinking or drugs or anything that would be considered self-harm, if you want to flash back to some of our other episodes. So the next one up is generosity.
Yep. So this can look a lot of different ways, from either giving time to someone, making donations, or even just these random acts of kindness. So one student shared they didn't think they had any strengths. Aww. And so we kind of did some of that like motivational stuff of, you know, well, what's something that you're proud of that you did like this week? And they said, well, I helped someone like carry their groceries to their car. Even that one thing is, it's like, well, that seems pretty generous to me, kind of thing. So, and they're like, oh, you know what? You're right. Like that is, that is something. And something else with sources of strength is that we like to encourage our students is if they don't think that they resonate with one of these strengths, it's, you know, we kind of have this conversation with them to kind of dig deeper to identify at least one strength and then have one that they want to grow in.
Yeah.
So some students, especially like high school students, it's really hard to, you know, give money because, you know, they're working, they're starting these part-time jobs, things like that, or saving up for college. So it's really hard to give that. But there's other ways to be generous, such as, you know, helping a friend, helping a random stranger at the grocery store, you know, things like that.
I have a t-shirt that says it costs $0 to be a kind human being, and it's my favorite t-shirt to wear, and I wear it all the time, even in professional settings, because I tell myself I'm being a positive mental health support, even though it's just because I want to wear a t-shirt that's comfy. But yeah, like 100% costs $0 to be kind. Hold the door.
Right.
Smile at somebody. Say thank you. I mean, just really simple stuff, but it does really tend to perk you up, especially when you're intentional about it. Like, you're like, I'm going to make that lady's day. Here I come, right? Right. Hands on hips, everything. Determination and the generosity. So,
because it not only makes the other person feel good, but it also makes you feel good too. So,
yeah. You know. And especially if you're struggling and you feel like you don't have a purpose or you don't have something to contribute, it's really easy to just hold the door open and feel good about it, right? Or maybe you can find a nice person that needs help with their groceries, or maybe you can send somebody like a nice message. And I know that sounds kind of goofy, but that's generosity. It's like, hey, I'm thinking about you. This meme, dog picture, whatever, made me laugh or looks really dumb and I think you need to see it. So here it is. Or like, I brought you donuts or like something, right? You can do something pretty small and it makes a big impact. So the next one is spirituality.
Yeah, so this one mostly is around, you know, thankfulness and gratitude and kind of honing in that way on spirituality, regardless of, you know, cultural background, religious background, anything like that. The underlying foundation of this is kind of around the thankfulness and gratitude, and it's good, you know, around the time of, like, Thanksgiving and holidays, really important to think about that. You know, it's around a time of, like, gifts and things, but like, you know, already thinking of stuff that you're thankful for, whether it be one of these sources like friends, things like that, or whether it's just health or your mental health, you know, there's a lot of things you can be thankful for and how to hone in on the spirituality in that sense.
Yeah. So I always struggle with the word spirituality in any of the mental health stuff that I do. And I always reframe it as like your centering, your groundedness. And so everybody has experienced this in some way, shape or form in their life where they felt very like grounded, very connected, and like stuff wasn't weighing on them so much. And so it might be when you're drawing. It might be when you've got your feet in the sand or in the grass or while you're doing yoga or meditating, or maybe it's at church, maybe it's at your synagogue, like all these different things. So it can be religion, but it's most often not for a lot of folks, or yes and, I would say, for some folks. But it's also, you don't need to get trapped in the religious aspect a little bit. So you can say, you know, oh, I find that when I'm doing yoga, right? Absolutely, do that. Okay, so next up is medical access.
Yeah, so this goes with both, and I'll tie into the last strength as well. So it ties into both the physical and the mental health aspects of medical access. So the overall theme for this is we don't have to stay in pain. We can have access to, you know, different providers, whether it's, you know, a doctor, mental health provider. Kind of ties into my other role as behavioral health navigator. So linking people to resources, regardless of insurance, because there are, you know, there are different providers and different resources that either accept insurance or don't accept insurance, you know, and there are resources out there. So it's important to take care of your needs and your not only physical but mental as well. So that is, you know, that can be a strength if someone does have access to those and, you know, to prevent them from getting more injured or to take care of their mental health.
Yeah. So quick kind of caveat here. A lot of people don't know their primary care physician is an excellent person to talk to about your mental health. And so they will tell you very quickly, I'm the right person to talk to you about this, and I can prescribe you medication, or you can just chat and we'll think about areas that you can improve in some things, or maybe need a referral to go see a therapist or a psychiatrist or whoever, right? But they also want to rule out any medical things, right? So, you know, if your thyroid's wonky, they want to check that. If they, you know, if you vitamin D is very low, right? So that's easily fixed. You just take a vitamin or you take a pill, right? And you're going to feel a lot perkier. And I think a lot of Americans are very low on vitamin D overall. And so that's your sunshine that you need 20 minutes a day of. Complicated. You're basically a plant, right? With emotions.
Pretty much.
You got to go sun yourself every once in a while. But don't forget to tell your primary care physician about mental health symptoms. So we often go in and we're like, oh, well, you know, I've had a headache and like I'm tired, but also I've been feeling really worried about stuff, or I've been feeling down a lot lately. And so that gives them enough information, because they're going to look at it with whatever set of information you give them. So being a good medical advocate for yourself as well, I would say. So sharing all that. They should also be doing, what is it, the PHQ-9? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I always mix
up
those.
PHQ-9.
Yeah. Okay. PHQ-9. Okay. That should be every year. It's a screener for depression and anxiety. It's a law in Maryland.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that all the doctors are doing it. So you should be getting screened. And that's a really good way to do that. So ask your doctor if you haven't been. And I just scared my doctor. I think I shared this last time. But she was like, here, I have this form. And I was like, yay. And she was like, what do you do for a living? I was like, oh, why are you asking? No, I'm just kidding. And I was like really excited to fill out this form, because it meant that she was doing her part to help look and screen for people that might be struggling overall. Okay. So that is our wheel. What is it called? The wheel of strength?
Yep. Sources of strength wheel.
Okay. Yep. Not an official term. Just checking. All right. So we are going to quickly run down all the different social media accounts you should be following.
Yes.
Okay. So if you want to start off.
Sure. We have an Instagram account called HOCO Strength. It's also on Facebook. If you search for Howard County Sources of Strength, or you do the little at symbol and then HOCO Strength, we post. There's photos of students and teachers and different people in the area that share their strengths as part of our I Am Stronger campaign.
Yeah.
We'll be having newsletters that go out too. And for those older adults, Facebook is a good place to find all the information. But for students, mostly it's Instagram.
I feel called out now.
Right. I use both still. I use Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, well, you're ancient then. No, I'm just kidding.
So it's good for, you know, both the parents that want to be involved 100%. And see like what their students are doing during these meetings or what their kids are doing, also good for teachers in the community mm-hmm. just to be involved in how this is being launched in the community.
So. Right. It's very aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. Lots of rainbows. Yes. I'm a huge fan. I just coincidentally am wearing a rainbow sweater today because I was excited about rainbows. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, are you wearing that in honor of this? And I was like, yes.
Absolutely.
Totally on purpose. Okay. So, of course, you can catch this episode and many others of my own or, you know, bunch of others. The health department has What the Doctor Is In, right? We've got Hope Works. There's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of different people doing really awesome things. So you can follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can also go to dragondigitalradio.podbean.com to catch all of the older podcasts. And then finally, you can always follow me and my business, and that is at Inquiring Minds LLC with the little underscores in between words. And now we're at the self-care send-off. So yeah. What are we sending off for self-care, Caitlin? Cool.
Something I would encourage is, you know, if it's nice out, just getting mm-hmm. out and taking a step out, whether it's, you know, playing football, going outside for mm-hmm. a walk, mm-hmm. you know, just enjoying nature and just taking the time to appreciate, mm-hmm. you know, just being able to go outside. Or just another self-care tip that I will be doing is just contacting positive friends throughout the month.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. So thank you for joining.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you all for listening to us. And if you're interested, please do reach out on all the different random things that we've just shared that you can do. Mm-hmm. And until next time, we're wishing you good mental health.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.